on the calendar of the Protestant churches since the Reformation, there has been a note placed that on the last Sunday of this month, that the Sunday services would be used to bring the Protestant and Reformed churches back to remember their past and to remember what happened at the Reformation. Reformation Sunday. Very few churches today even mention it, because we're in a day of spiritual declension. This morning, I had the joy of bringing the first part of my message. I'm not going to repeat any of that, because you can get it in the recording studio, and it would be a good thing for you who have heard it to hear it again, and it would be good for us all to circulate that part of the message. But I want to come to the second part of my message. The title I put on the subject today was Martin Luther and three things about him. He had nails. He had a hammer. And he also had a placard. And he went out to fight the monster of popery, the power of the Antichrist, and that's all he had. And he completely won the battle. And Rome fell before the Reformation, and it'll never be rebuilt again. It is finished. Judgment has been pronounced. The first part of that judgment has been perfected, and the finality of it will be perfected as well. God works through individuals. And the great individual, surrounded by a galaxy of other tremendous individuals, was the Lord's servant, Martin Luther. And God made that man, an ignorant volunteer for Rome's own army. God saved him, cleansed him, filled him with the power of the Holy Ghost, and brought about a movement that toppled popery, and as I have said, it will never be rebuilt. We will stand one day finally upon its ruins, and will shout the victory unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood. To him be the glory. There was a great preacher during a past century who preached in London. He was the pastor of the Zion Chapel. His name was Joseph Irons. He was an old, rugged, Calvinistic warrior, and he served his generation faithfully. He also published a hymn book, and if you ever can get your hands on that hymn book of Joseph Irons, get it. And he wrote a great hymn, Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me. Whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thine embrace. How precious are thy thoughts that o'er my spirit roll. They dwell beyond my faults. They captivate my soul. How great their sum, how high they rise, can ne'er be known beneath the skies. Preserved in Jesus, when my feet made haste to hell, and there I would have gone, but thou hast done all things well. Thy love was great, thy mercy free, that from the pit delivered me. Martin Luther was a target of the divine sovereign grace of God. And from the darkness of the convent cell, from the darkness of the idolatry of a monastery, from the darkness of a church condemned, unclean, to be damned in the great judgment hour, God saved Martin Luther. He was preserved when his feet were running to hell. He was kept from danger seen and unseen. But one day, the grace of God reached him. The blood of Calvary's Lamb washed him. He was turned from darkness unto life, and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. He was born again. And we thank Almighty God for saving Martin Luther. We thank God for the covenant election of a sovereign God who does everything after the counsel not of man's will, but of God's will. And God had a man. And that man was Martin Luther. Of course, being born into a Roman Catholic home, attending training college for priests and for monks run by Rome, Luther was well steeped and soaked in all the darkness and superstition of Rome. He thought when he left the world and went into the monastery that God would take his part and he would never have another temptation and never have another pain of agony. But when he went into the monastery, he discovered that the devil and hell were just as much in that monastery as they were outside it. He entered the monastery because he told his friends he was leaving the world. And he said, when I got there, I found that the world was there before me. And all the darkness and all the temptations were just the same. And he said he tried to fight sin. He tried to get deliverance from sin. He thought that by monkish efforts and by the power of Rome's authority and theology, he would escape and find liberty. But the more he stayed behind the monastery walls, the darker his heart became. And the pressures upon Martin Luther was tremendous. No wonder God had chosen him to be the leader of the Reformation, to be the one man that would witness alone the power of God against popery. And he realized that instead of getting into liberty, he was going to further bondage. But he continued to pray. He continued to suffer. But he also continued to seek for the way of salvation. And some men in the darkness of that monastery, who by the sovereignty of God had come themselves to see the light of the gospel, witnessed to him. And Luther came to the place where his eyes were opened, and he saw that salvation was not in the church or in the priests or in the monastery or in the deeds or doctrines of Rome. He discovered that salvation was in Christ and in Christ alone. The Pope's doctrine would damn him. The church's idolatry would take him out into outer darkness. But of the tender, loving, nail-pierced hand of Christ caught him. He'd be lifted from darkness into light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. And one day, in a sick cell, when everyone thought he was going to die, God spoke a word of eternal life to a soul. His darkness all fled away. His bitterness was sweetened. His strugglings were over. He had learned the wonder: the just shall live by religion. No. The church will live by baptism. No. The church will live by the doctrines. No. He found out that there was only one way to live, and that was by faith alone, in Christ alone. And one day he was found not bowing to the crucifix, but he was found at a place called Calvary. And there the mighty God, the everlasting Father, received him. There the precious Jesus that was nailed to the cross and shed his blood for his cleansing met him. There the Holy Spirit did a work of eternal grace in his heart. And he was born again. The night had passed. The sunlight had arisen. And the sun was going to shine in all its glory upon him. What a day that was when God saved Martin Luther and called him to be a preacher of the word. But at that time, the great lie was being sold by the Pope. The Pope was eager to build his great idolatrous temple. At Rome. And he needed money. And he saw that the people of Rome and the people of the churches of Rome throughout the world were all terrible sinners. So he decided that he would take the sin of the people and turn it into the greatest raising of money that the Church of Rome ever engaged in. He would say that God had given him the right to sell pardons. And if you bought the pardon, the money would go to his idolatrous temple and you would be pardoned. And as I was telling the people this morning, the price to murder your mother-in-law was 10 and 6 pence. Beware mothers-in-laws. That's what he thought of mothers-in-law, that they could get liberty to kill them for 10 shillings and 6 pence. Think of it. And of course, when people got religion from a source like that, they went as far and as deep into hell and time as they could go. And a wave of the darkest days flooded Europe. City after city became the quagmire of the vilest of sins. Luther decided that something must be done. So he got his placard. He got his nails. He got his hammer. And at this time of the year, the end week of October, he stood outside the church at Wittenberg. And he took the placard upon which he had written the condemnation of God on the false lies of the Pope as far as getting indulgence for the sin of our heart. And with a hammer and a nail and holding up the placard, he nailed it to the church door. When you leave this church tonight, go out through the middle door and you'll see some of the things that were written by Martin Luther. Some of the statements that he made. Remember, he had come out of the darkness of Romanism. He'd be down in the hell of examining his heart and seeing that it deserved eternal death. But thank God, life had come through the new birth. And here was a living man with a living message that could bring life and not death to sinful man and woman. Let me read you this prayer. It's the prayer he made when he was being tried for his own life before the Pope's judges. Almighty eternal God, how poor a thing is this world. How little a thing will cause the people to stand open-mouthed. How little and mean is the confidence of man to God. Do thou, O Lord, assist me against all worldly wisdom and understanding. Do this, thou must do it, thou alone. It is not truly my cause. It is thine own cause. I myself have nothing to do here, and with the great princes have nothing of this world, have nothing to do. The cause is thine, not mine. It is just and eternal. I rely upon no man. Come, O Lord, come. I am ready to give up even my life patiently, like a lamb offered, for the cause is just. It is thine, and I will not depart from thee eternally. This I resolve in thy name. The world cannot force my conscience, and should my body be destroyed therein, my soul is thine and remaineth with thee forever. What a prayer. But we can say, what an answer. When he opened his eyes, he said to his judges, headed up with the emperor of the so-called great Roman Empire, since your most serene majesty and your high mightinesses require of me a simple, clear, and direct answer, I will give you this answer. I will give it to you now. If I am not convinced by proof from Holy Scripture, by cogent reasons, if I am not satisfied by the very texts I cite, and if my judgment is not this way brought into subjection to God's Word, I neither can nor will retract anything. For it cannot be right for a Christian to speak against his own conscience. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. That was the end of the court case. Those words brought an end to the tyranny of popery across the world. One man, a poor man, an uneducated man, a man who had no troops behind him, but a man who knew his God, with a book in his hand, the Word of God, with Christ in his heart, the King of Glory. He toppled popery once and for all. They didn't wait to get him away. They couldn't get him out quick enough. One day they were crying for his blood. The next hour they were crying to get him out of the city of Worms. But his friends knew that those who wanted to get him out of the city wanted to get him out to his death. So they dressed themselves up as highwaymen, and they took him out as if he was being carried away by enemies. And they took him to a great castle in that area. And for some considerable time, Luther was in that castle, hidden away. But But he cried out, what will I do? I want to do something. And God said to him, you're going to do the greatest job that I could give you. You're going to translate the Bible into the German language. And your present to Germany is going to be a German Bible. And what God said, he wrought in Martin Luther. For the day Martin Luther ended his forced captivity, he took with him Bibles that had been translated by himself, printed by his followers, and the world was taken by the precious word of God. Luther at this time wrote, my good works could avail me not, for they with sin were stained, free will against God's judgment fought, and dead to good remained. Grief drove me to despair, and I had nothing left me but to die. To hell I fast was sinking. God saw in his eternal grace my sorrow out of measure. He thought upon my tenderness to see it was his good pleasure. He turned to me a father's heart, not small the cost to heal my smart. He gave his best and dearest. He spake to his beloved son, 'Tis time to take compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow set man free. Slay bitter death for him, that he may live with thee forever. What a testimony from the lips of a man who a few months before was walking in the darkness that was the darkness and blindness of hell. But now, through the grace of God, he was changed and became God's greatest soldier of the cross. Of course, all men must die. And there came a day when Luther had to die. How did he die? He died in quiet confidence in his God. Here is a prayer that he offered as he lay in his deathbed. O my heavenly Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thou God of all consolation, I thank thee that thou hast revealed to me thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, in whom I believe, and whom I have loved and preached and confessed, and whom the pernicious Pope and all wicked men dishonor, persecute, and blaspheme. I pray thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, receive my soul into thy care. O heavenly Father, although I must leave this body and take away from this life, I nevertheless know assuredly that I shall be with thee forever, and no one shall pluck me out of thy hands. On the 18th of February, 1548, at the age of 63, Martin Luther was glorified and went to meet the man of Calvary who bled for him on Calvary's tree when he gave his life a ransom for the many. When your death day comes, What will be your hope? What will be the basis of the foundation that you'll enter eternity? Will it be Christ, the solid rock? Or will it be the folly of man's religion, which is darkness and the beginning of the shadow of death? Be in time, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. And we thank thee that it reached into Luther's home. It reached into his monastery and into his friary. It reached into his heart. And one day when sin was as black as could be for Luther, thou didst come to him. Thou didst show him thy blood. Thou didst wash him and make him clean. We thank thee for the courage you gave him, for the good fight that he fought, and the great victory won. And we pray that we in our day will stand up for Jesus as good soldiers of Christ. And that we'll see in our day a time of revival, a time of refreshing, a time our God, when all the enemies of the gospel will be confounded, and Christ shall reign in all the power of an endless life. Let no one leave this house until they're sure they're saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, abide with us all, now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen, amen. I'll be in the Kirk session room, just right behind me. I'll be going there now. If you want to come in and talk with me about your soul, dear seeker of the Lord, I'm here to meet with you and to point you to the Savior. God bless you.